Human Services will come to order. And what I'd like to do today, I hope that you are familiar with the fact of the Oregon Disabilities Commission proposal. And we will, before we get started with that, I want to recognize Representative March. And since he has to go to another committee, before Deborah begins talking about the bill, just let Representative March put some information on record. Okay. Representative March.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Steve March. I represent House District 46 in the center of Portland, and it's a pleasure to be before you today. I did want to put some points on the record and how I led me to move House Bill 3230 forward, which would take the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Access Program and separate it from the Disabilities Commission and move it to the Department of Human Services. And that started when, in the last budget cycle, when due to a lot of budget pressure, we did not fund the advocacy portion of the Disabilities Commission with general fund dollars. And we, at that time, said, go forth, find some funding for yourselves, but in the meantime, you can live off of what was remaining in the budget, some carryover, and some of the money that was designed for deaf and hard of hearing services. When the governor's proposed budget came out, once again, there were no general fund dollars proposed for the Disabilities Commission. And it was at that time I became extremely concerned that the Disability Commission had the potential for going under, and it was imperative that the services for the deaf and hard of hearing continue and be placed separately with the Department of Human Services. So I pushed forward with House Bill 3230, which would do that. Since that time, there have been a number of different proposals. There was a revised proposal from the governor's office, again, now not providing any general fund money for the Disabilities Commission. So it's my understanding that LFO is proposing that the entire commission be shifted to the Department of Human Services, which I have no opposition to, if it will preserve the mission of the Disabilities Commission. And I think that's the critical part here, is ensuring that the that persons with disabilities have a voice in this administration, in the state of Oregon, that they can advise the legislature and the governor, et cetera. So I will have no opposition to that amendment being proposed to House Bill 3230 should it occur. But I do want to ensure a couple of things. One is that we're able to maintain the deaf and hard of hearing services that we would be required under the Americans with Disability Act, ensure those services are being able to be structured within the Department of Human Services where they need to be, and that's up to the department. They may want to reconfigure in any manner, and so those were my concerns. My other concern, of course, was ensuring enough funding for the deaf and hard of hearing access services, and I think the proposal that's coming from LFO does that. It maintains 2.5 FTE in 3 positions, and I think that's a real step in preserving the services for the deaf and hard of hearing. It all, as I understand it, also ensures that the Disabilities Commission continue as part of DHS. And while there's value in being independent, that value certainly wasn't recognized with general fund dollars this time around. And if the best way to preserve a voice for the for persons with disabilities is to be in DHS, then I would support that. So I just wanted to put those things on the record and thank you for your time. Do you have any questions?
Any questions?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Steve, thanks for coming in today. Is there enough revenue and other funds coming in to take care of the deaf part of this program? Is there enough money there to take care of this? You said two and a half FTE.
Well, obviously, I would prefer full 3 FTE, but because the trainer position is critical in the future. I understand the current budget conditions, however, and recognize that at least a partial training position is better than no training position. I'll give you an example. There, in one of the DHS offices, field offices, they have a TTY machine. It's still in the box because nobody's been trained to use it. And if, so we're not providing access to the deaf and hard of hearing in that office. So luckily, we haven't been sued over it yet. But soon we will be reaching the point where somebody's going to realize I'm not getting my needs met. And so I would hope that if we're not able to do a full trainer in this biennium, that by next biennium we'll be able to do that. I will also be working over the interim to develop a proposal around service centers for the deaf and the hard of hearing that would include some vocational rehab money, other things where I think we can get some federal match if we come up with a little bit of local. But that's for the future, for the next biennium. So certainly more is better, but I also understand the constraints that you are working under.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to get that on the record. Thanks, Steve.
Steve, I really want to thank you for your work, and I think that you're definitely going in the direction in which the members of this committee has entertained, and having this this meeting today, though informational, it does give LFO directions to go from here in terms of inculcating ideas here into the House bill that you have. And so thank you so very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Montesanders, have you worked with DHS at all? I mean, can you give us? I know they're not here.
Yes, I early on when I proposed the movement of the DHAP or the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Access Program to the department, I met with then Gary Weeks and James Taves, and they were receptive to that, and in fact the governor's office had proposed moving the entire operation of DHAP and ODC, the Disabilities Commission, to be housed in the Department of Human Services, and some of the administrative functions such as budgeting and things that a half-time director of Disabilities Commission couldn't handle, perhaps some of that burden could be shared by the by DHS, and in fact the revised proposal coming from the governor's office still included that movement to DHS, just not officially, and so this would make it an official and statutory.
Thank you.
Actually, they are much safer in the environment in which they're going than they would be had they continued to be a standalone agency. Because with us continuing to take money away from them, from the organization, it lessens their stature in the state. And so I think being in DHS, and I talk with the governor's people, I talk with the new director, the new interim director, and he feels very strongly that he will support the integrity of both these groups being in DHS's space, and so I'm feeling really pretty good about that.
Okay, thank you. I had concerns myself about the Disabilities Commission being added to this bill, but I came to the same conclusion that you have, is that in the long run they'll be safer.
Right.
You know, maybe in the future when the if DHS or the Disabilities Commission is able to find some other funding source and may wish to come back and revisit that independence, we could revisit that in the future.
Absolutely.
But in the current budget environment, this is a protective move, I think.
I agree. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being with us today. Colleagues, what I'd like to do is to have Deborah to walk us through the information that she has here, answer any questions that you have, facilitate whatever level of conversation that you want to have here today. And if someone is just dying in the audience to say something, then we'll consider that at the time. Are you guys awake up here?
So if I move to the audience, you'll let me speak?
I'll let you speak.
No.
Only then. Oh, we can't? Okay.
No.
All right, Deb, you go for it.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Well, I think that Representative March probably did a better job of describing the recommendation than I'll do, but I will give it an attempt.
Plus, you feel that you know this whole committee is up to date on this. We just...
All right.
It's procedural.
We've done this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sitting over here, so you'd have more space.
No, you're sitting over here because you want to move and do what you want to do when you get ready to do it. Please go forward.
All righty. Thank you again. As you know, over the last several biennia, funding for the Oregon Disabilities Commission has been declining. I've included a table there for your reference. You can see in 97-99, the commission had close to a little over $1.2 million worth of expenditures, 9 positions, 8.5 FTE. The you know, 507 revised, governor's revised budget is just shy of $500,000, 4 positions, and 3.5 FTE. The 507 budget relies on the Department of Human Services to sustain the commission. Other than the hope of general fund support being restored in the future, ODC hasn't identified an alternative funding source. Therefore, it's assumed that the reliance on DHS for funding will continue in the future. The goal of the governor's revised budget, as Representative March indicated, was to reduce the administrative burden on ODC by transferring the federally funded client assistance program, which is referred to as CAP, and transitioning ODC into DHS. Under the revised budget, ODC would retain its status as an independent agency. The transfer of CAP leaves ODC with two programs: operations, which is their advocacy, outreach, and commission support functions, and then the deaf and hard of hearing access program, which we refer to as DHEAP. And I've summarized the budget for you there. As you recall, the two programs is roughly a 50-50 split in the governor's revised budget. How it's accomplished is that the transfer of CAP, for example, the governor's office will request the U.S. Department of Education to redesignate the formula grant that funds this program. They'll have it redesignated to the Oregon Advocacy Center. This is a nonprofit organization, and they're currently who ODC contracts with to deliver the program. The transition into DHS, as I understand it, will be accomplished with an interagency agreement. Under that agreement, DHS will provide office space, telecommunications, office expenses, and financial services, accounting and budgeting for ODC. ODC services and supplies budget was reduced by approximately $121,000to reflect this agreement. In addition to providing those things, DHS would still provide 87% of the revenue needed to support operations and would continue to be the primary user of the DHAP services. The revised budget also makes several position changes. The two most notable, and I see I left one of them off, would be reducing the executive director position to half-time and eliminating the DHAP program manager position. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends that the governor's revised budget be approved with 3 adjustments. The first adjustment would be to restore the services and supplies reductions, except for rent and state government service charges, and eliminate the remaining portion of state government service charges. I think there was $22,000 left in there.
Yeah.
Senator Monison.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. Are these persons salaried? Are they public employees under the PERS system in our? Okay. Thank you.
The adjustment to services and supplies would increase it by a little over $21,000. When I looked at the historical spending over time, the budget for line items doesn't line up with how they're actually spending the money. Therefore, I thought it would increase the flexibility of the transition if we sent it all over there and then they can figure out how best to execute it. The second adjustment is to restore the DHAP manager position and to reduce the newly created training position to 0.05 FTE. This will increase the DHAP personal services by a little over $67,000, and it's funded with the cash balances that are already in DHAP. The approval of these adjustments will leave the program with a projected ending balance of about 6.7 months of operating expenditures.
I still need clarification here. I'm still back on my other. Right at the very beginning, you had said that the Oregon Advocacy Center is a nonprofit organization and that we contracted with them. Are those employees then being transferred over, or they have always been a part of the public employee system being paid by, with our health benefits and PERS?
Madam Chair, Senator Mona Sanderson, I confused the issue. The client assistance program, the CAP program, really didn't have any employees attached to it. ODC currently contracts with a private nonprofit organization to deliver services. Now, they did pull, I think, in their testimony, they said they pull something in the neighborhood of 7% for admin costs. So in the CAP program, the one that's going to the private nonprofit, there really aren't any state employees attached to that.
Now I understand the structure.
The rest of the employees are, of course, state employees.
Thank you. I think restoring
the DHAP program manager will help stabilize the program, and although, as Representative March indicated, it's somewhat of a disappointment to have the training position go to a half FTE, it does restore it to the level that it was when it was originally eliminated, and it also provides, they can increase it as revenue continues. My objective was not to take the ending balance down so far so that it could still remain to be viable as they move through into the future.
So is there, are there means by which they can raise dollars and basically store for independence again?
Madam Chair, the Deaf and Hard of Hearing program contracts with other agencies to deliver services. And so, yes, as long as they could generate additional revenue, they could increase their program. The piece of ODC that doesn't have any funding would be the advocacy and outreach portion.
So are there ways in which they can raise money and maybe look forward to becoming a standalone agency again?
Madam Chair, I would imagine that they could.
Okay.
It hasn't happened so far.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But nonetheless, they could.
Okay.
All right. The third, and probably the one that causes the most heartburn for the commission, the third adjustment would be to actually integrate the budget for ODC operations and the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Access Program into the DHS budget.
Yeah.
It seems to me that maintaining ODC as a separate agency doesn't really reduce administrative burden. It simply shifts it to the Department of Human Services. Eliminating the need to maintain ODC as a separate agency will reduce the administrative burden of all parties, including Department of Administrative Services and the Legislative Fiscal Office. So to accomplish this, House Bill 3230, as you heard from Representative March, transfers the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Access Program. It renames it to the Oregon Deaf and Hard of Hearing Services Program and creates a 12-member advisory board. The proposed Dash 1 amendments, which you have copies at your places of, would add ODC operations to the transfer. With approval of the Dash 1 amendments, ODC's budget would be zeroed out and DHS's budget would be increased. As a result, there would be no 507 budget bill for ODC, which is why we're having an informational meeting, and the LFO recommended budget for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing program and ODC operations would appear as a policy package, which you would approve as part of DHS's budget. And if you had questions or wanted to see the detail of the actual transfer into DHS, I've provided a draft copy of the fiscal on 3230, and on page 3, I've detailed out the transfer impact.
Question?
Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's very important to get on the record that we really do want to have the Oregon Deaf and Hard of Hearing Services Program not be watered down and to stay intact if it does go under DHS.
Right.
And I think that is the biggest heartburn because we bring this program in, and then it's so hard to take money here and there, and all of a sudden, what do we have for our deaf and hard of hearing? So I just want that on the record that we truly, truly would want to make sure that they keep their identity and their strength. And I think the advisory committee will definitely help in that.
Okay. Well, I have to tell you that it's very clear to the department, the legislature's intent. You know, that that dignity is maintained, and that that the office, the DHP, is taken care of in a way that is consistent with their board members and the direction that they want them. So I think it's just a matter of having a place to be and having the protection, the fiscal integrity that it needs to continue to do its work. And that's what this is all about. Nobody, it is not anybody's goal to do away with this activity in state government. It's not that at all.
Madam Chair, just to reinforce the Dash 1 amendments, keep the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Services program intact as the A. and Gross version of the bill does, and it is the intent that the organ, that the commission still exists and have the same duties that they had before. And so there is no intent, just to reinforce, to water down what it is the commission is doing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have as much heartburn with people with DAP moving into DHS as the rest of you do. I guess, I mean, DHS is big enough and has similar programs running through it that I don't feel a lot of heartburn there. I do have a problem with the commission. The word independence and commission kind of go together in my mind, and that does not fit inside DHS. We're really talking about $253,000 out of a multi-billion dollar budget as far as DHS is concerned. I believe I heard you say there's no administrative savings of putting you into DHS. You can work with the books in a way you want to, but it's still going to be a cost to the state to do this thing. And we're talking about a relatively small amount of money compared to the entire DHS budget. I think what's happening here is sort of getting hidden inside that budget, but the cost is still going to be there. If you convince me otherwise, I might change my position. But I really have a problem with the commission being buried. I think ultimately it erodes their independence. We have good intentions right now, but when you and I and the good chair are no longer here, I wonder what this commission is going to be doing. And I think we have to think long term about this commission. This commission also has had some problems. We're all well aware of that. It needs to find its way and get back on its feet. I'm just not sure this is the way we should go. The rest of it makes perfect sense to me, but but bearing the commission inside DHS, it makes me concerned. If there were significant savings, I feel differently. I don't hear that there are. And so I'm concerned. And I would probably be a no on this unless I could be convinced otherwise, which I'm willing to listen. Huh? You want to convince me, right? And we're spending a lot of time on something in the last day of the session.
Yes. Yeah.
That's well,
the
but an important one.
The only reason I want to convince you is not just for a vote. I want to convince you that the only way these two entities can be made whole or kept whole is by going here. There were no general fund dollars coming from the governor and none from the legislature. And so therefore, they would go away and fade into the sunset. And so a way to keep them alive, and I just written my little notes here, that it is my hope, members of the commission, that that ODC will renew its energetic beginnings and fundraise along with grant writing to become alive and independent again. That is my hope for both of these entities, that this will happen. So for me, and I know I'll be around for another 2 years and hopefully another 6 years in particular, and should I decide to do that. And so I know that it will be on my radar screen because I've been on Human Services Committee for 20 years now, so I don't have any ideas about changing. So I want to just assure you, Senator, that our intent here is not to let it go away, but we just didn't have the resources to keep it up.
I understand your position completely. I'd just rather see us vote an appropriation out for this out of the DHS budget instead of burying it in the budget. But that being said, it's probably not going to happen. I would take a personal promise from you, since you are going to be here in the next 2 years, and I have to run for election, may or may not, that you will follow this and make sure they remain independent
absolutely.
Inside DHS.
Oh, absolutely.
And that the possibility exists of pulling them back out again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's exactly right. Phyllis, I saw your hand. Are there any other people that would like to? I got your hand. You can come on this way. anybody else would like to make comments? No one else? Oh, okay. Ms. Rand.
Okay. I'm Phyllis Rand, and I'm an advocate. And I served for 11 years on the Governor's Commission on Senior Services. And we have always been housed in the Department of Human Resources. And our money came through the division, which it was called at that time. Mm-hmm. And we were always able to retain that separate advocacy role that was so important. And so, you know, I believe that they ought to be able to function under that umbrella and do quite well.
That's good to know, because I have been assured by the department that that's the case.
Right.
So I'm
right.
Going to have to hear you say that.
Right. Thank you.
Questions of Ms. Senator Bates. Senator.
Winters.
Senator.
I'm a good-looking one.
That's right. Senator Westland.
He's a good-looking one. I'm the smart one.
Okay.
Phyllis, is the senior commission housed there now?
Yes.
Incorrect. They are housed in the Department of Human Services.
Oh.
Not the Department.
Pardon me. Yes.
He's also the sarcastic one, so just ignore him.
But here's my serious question.
All right.
And I understand your comments. I agree with your comments. But the commission, the senior commission, has their own appropriation. That's a yes or a no.
I don't believe so. I believe it comes out of the budget.
Out of DHS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just that they do administrative function. Right.
But we don't have any grants or any other means of... that money is set aside for the operation
no
of the Commission on Senior Services.
I taught you something, and you taught me something.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That's right. George.
Madam Chairman of the Committee, my name is George Shaler, and I'm here representing the Oregon Association for the Deaf. As you know, Representative March and our association has been working on this House Bill 3230, mainly because over the years our funding has been going down and staff has been getting smaller, all because the Disability Commission has been using part of our funds, which was approved by the Legislative Emergency Board. Now, moving over to DHS is fine with our association, but in listening to you, I'm a little puzzled by one thing. Are you still saying that we move to the Department of Department of Human Services, and that the Oregon Disability Commission will still be permitted to use 50% of the deaf and hard of hearing access funds? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No. Okay, then. So the Disability Commission will get its funding from DHS, right? And the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Access Program will still keep its funding by contracts with state agencies, right?
Yes.
Okay. Senator Bates, one thing that puzzles me about you is things that Representative March said a while ago, is that the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Access Program is a very important program in the state because of the Americans with Disability Act. And the state of Oregon has been pretty lucky never to be sued because of not providing services. I think if you are on something like our national newsletters that we get all the time, we have the Law Center for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Center in Washington, D.C., and their monthly newsletters coming out all the time are listing where lawsuits are being made against states, you know, and things like this, because they're not following the Americans with Disability Act. Deafness is a communication handicap. You don't see any deaf people here today is because they know communication access is very hard for them. And so there's not many of us. Myself, I consider myself deaf, but I have good speech, yes, only because I lost my hearing when I was 12. I'd already developed all my speech and language. Most deaf people who are born have never heard sound. And access to programs, even for state agencies, is very limited. Like Marsh said, there's agencies with TTY still in boxes. They don't know how to use it. And the training part is very important, because you come in and train people in the department, and in due time these people move on or quit, new people come in. You've got to turn around and do training all over again. So it's a circle going round and around and around, you know. And we deaf just need these services. People are living longer now. More people are losing their hearing because of age. More children are being born with hearing loss and other disabilities because their parents used drugs or something when they were pregnant with them. And if we don't start now to build these services up so that these kids can have the services ready for them, the state of Oregon is going to be heavily burdened with other services that are needed, even if they have to end up taking care of them all their lives. And I don't feel this is what we need to do.
Thank you very much, George. Members, are there any objections with the conversation we've had thus far and the intent of this, the direction in which we're going? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Any more questions? Any hard questions?
Nope. Let's do it.
Okay. Consider it done, and Deborah will get back to us, and it will be in House Bill
3230.
Well, is it 24 hours notice for a work session?
Yeah.
Or we can get it done.
Yeah.
This is already past the House,
yeah,
right?
You still meet tomorrow.
No.
Yeah, so we'll do like Wednesday or something.
It won't come. It's my opinion. No,
not on
come
this. No, this won't come back to us at all. We've done our work, we support it, and then.
The only one was a discussion zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
For you to be back to where we are. Okay?
Where's the bill right now?
In the House.
Budget?
Budget.
We'll have a hearing on it tomorrow in House Human Services and Public Safety.
And then it comes across to us.
Yeah. And then you'll see in the DHS budget, you'll see John adding the operations and dehousing.
But we'll still have to pass that bill out on the Senate floor sometime.
Yes, yeah.
Absolutely.
Is it going to fiscal out? Probably not. The neutral.
Well, right. Actually, there's a little bit of savings, right, depending on how DHS does it. But
I might have to come here before it goes out. Okay. All right.
All right.
You'll
thank you.